Today is November the 27th. This is the evening service of the Weatherby House Church. And I'm going to read two definitions for you. First definition is agnostic. Agnostic is relating to the belief that the existence of any ultimate reality, such as God, is unknown. Relating to the belief that the existence of any ultimate reality of God is unknown. Now, the next definition I want to read for you is the definition of belief, or believe. Believe. To have a religious conviction, a firm conviction about something, and to accept it as true. To have a religious conviction about something and accept it as true. Do we have a selection?
In our journey below, there are times that we know that our names have been placed in God's book. And you follow his lead, gives us help here to read. So for proof on his pages we look. Here we hold through his grace, we shall look on his face. When the burdens of life are laid down, there to rise with the blessed to a glorious rest, and with all the redeemed wear a crown. Hear the sorrows and tears coming down through the years, seems our eyes so to dim on the way, that we need his dear grace over these lives to trace. And for this we continually pray. When our work here is done at the set of life's sun, and we come to the brink of the grave, how we hope to re-clear all our names written there, and to have saving grace to be brave. Here we read in his word he will loosen the cord when we come to the end of the way. Give us, Lord, blessed peace when our breathing shall cease, as the summons of death we obey. Here we hope through his grace we shall look on his face, when the burdens of life are laid down, and to rise with the blessed to a glorious rest, and with all the redeemed wear a crown.
The Lord has been so good to me. I want to sing his praise. I want to glorify his name all my remaining days. The Lord has been so good to me. I will on him depend, and every day where I be, I would his truth defend. I want to follow in his steps and show my love this way. I want to lift his banner up each fair or cloudy day. I want to mingle with his saints while here on earth I stay, and meet them on the golden shore on that eternal day. For Jesus will the mercy show and save me by thy grace, that I may win this life is o'er, look on my lovely face. And in the land of endless bliss, where all the praises hide, some humble place at thy dear feet may this poor sinner find. The Lord has been so good to me, I will on him depend, and every day where I be, I would his truth defend. Okay, 215. 215 will be our last song before we go over to the other part of the service. 215. As we travel through the desert, storms beset us by the way, but beyond the river Jordan lies the field of endless day. Farther on still go farther, count the milestones one by one. Jesus will forsake you never, it's better farther on. Oh, my brother, are you weary of the roughness of the way? Does your strength begin to fail you
and your gratitude. Farther on, still go farther, count the milestones one by one. Jesus will forsake you never, it is better farther on. Jesus, Jesus will go with you, he will lead you to the throne. He who dyed his garments for you, and the white cross trodden on. Farther on, oh how much farther, count the milestones one by one. No, no counting, only trusting, it is better farther on. Hark a voice from Eden's ceiling, softly in an undertone. Hark, I hear his gentle whisper, it is better farther on. At my grave, oh, still be singing, though you weep for one that's gone. Sing it as we watch this singing, it is better farther on. Farther on, still go farther, count the milestones one by one. Jesus will forsake you never, it is better farther on.
Well, we talked about these two definitions about what is an agnostic and what does it mean to believe. Father, we pray that you would take this message this evening and use it for your glory, and we pray that you would guard our thoughts and our minds as we continue in your word. We ask in Christ's name, amen. There have been many, many highly proclaimed people who state that they are agnostics. They don't believe that there's any way that a person can know that there is a God. And we find that many of those that have held that position have changed their position over time. Many have said that in Einstein's later life, he changed his position and held the belief of a higher moral being. But there were others that died still proclaiming that it was impossible to know if God exists. And Nietzsche, the proclaimed philosopher, said his, one of his most famous quotes that he ever made was, quote, God is dead. Well, that held the presupposition that God once lived. Well, God was, through his Son, crucified on the cross. The Father wasn't killed, but the Son was crucified, but the Son did not stay in the grave. The resurrection. But we're going to explore tonight this aspect of belief. Belief. We've had talked about it before, and there's not any person that's ever been born that has any mental faculties at all that that hasn't held some belief. We all believe in something. We read in that definition of an agnostic that they believe that God is unknowable. That's a belief they hold, that God is unknowable. A Christian believes a lot of different things if they hold the tenets of the Christian religion. Christian believes, one, that they are created beings. Two, they believe that they are born and conceived in sin. Three, they believe that Jesus Christ came into the world to die for their sins. They believe that he accomplished it and that he rose again, that he's seated in heaven, ruling and reigning, that he's coming back again, and that they have been chosen in him before the foundation of the world, and that he has gone to prepare a place for them, and he will come again and receive them unto himself, that where he is, there they might be also. This is belief. All these beliefs are held by those who hold to the Christian faith. Now, a lot of people that say they're Christians don't hold to some of those beliefs. I'm going to repeat that. A lot of people that say they're Christians don't hold to some of those beliefs I've just talked about. For an example, we said this morning that many, many Christians deny the aspect that they were born and conceived in sin. Many Christians deny the aspect that they were chosen in him before the foundation of the world. And those are two very important aspects because they are very much clearly taught in the Bible. I've often relayed to this audience that as a child, I was never taught those two aspects of the Christian faith. I was not taught the doctrine of original sin, that we all died in Adam. I was taught about Adam and Eve and the fall, but I wasn't taught the implications of how it played itself out in my own personal life. I certainly wasn't taught that I was chosen in him before the foundation of the world. Now, I know that daily we meet a lot of people in our lives. We come in touch, in contact with a lot of people at the grocery store, the Walmart, the restaurant, the post office, the hardware store, wherever we're doing our daily business. We come in contact with people. And these people that we come in contact with often will share their beliefs. We talked last Sunday about Jack, how he said he did not believe the Bible. He didn't believe it was anything other than just another book. That was a belief that Jack held. Now, the question that I have tonight is, what beliefs do you hold? You know, it's important what we believe. It's very important what we believe. You know, I remember when I was working for the state of Missouri and having to work with a lot of children that were in foster care. And oftentimes the question came up with very young children that were just starting to come out of infancy, starting to learn certain things. And the question came up, when does a child know their parents? When does a child know who their parents are? When do they discover who their parents are? And of course, it's different for different children depending upon the bonding of the parent. Well, you know, we can liken that to the Christian. When do you know who your spiritual parent is? Sometimes it takes a little longer in God's providential hand for him to reveal himself to us. Some people, you know, it's amazing because John the Baptist leapt while he was in his mother's womb. And yet, later on, if we recall, John the Baptist asked his disciples to go to him and ask if Jesus Christ was the one that was to come. You thought about that? We all have our doubts. We all at times, because of Satan and because of unbelievers, little doubts creep into our mind regarding our beliefs. And so we've talked about faith before, how that we have to stay in God's word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But It's real important in this time that we're living. It's very important in this time that we're living in that we start thinking about our belief system. Our belief system can be attacked, very much so. We can start questioning everything that we once held dear. I've talked to people who have gone through seminary, and when they went into seminary, they were very strong Christian people. And when they came out, they were close to being agnostics. They doubted the cardinal tenets of the Bible. They started doubting the virgin birth. They started doubting the literal hell. They started doubting the crossing of the Red Sea. And they doubted Jonah and the big fish story. You say, oh, that was just a story. That wasn't really true. And there was all kind of doubts that came into these people's minds. And they started subscribing more to a social gospel than a redemptive gospel. Now, a person who once comes to the understanding through the Holy Spirit of their sinnership, that they are a sinner, and they are in need of a Savior, like Mary, as Jesus' mother came to that conclusion. And once we come to that conclusion, and once the Holy Spirit brings about faith in the heart, and we're born again by the Spirit of God, our belief is reinforced. Our belief becomes stronger and stronger and stronger. We also become stronger in believing the account of election in the Bible. We also understand that if all power resides with God, if He is who He says He is, He is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent. He is all-powerful and all-knowing, that nothing can be withheld from His hand. That's what it means when He is sovereign. He is all-powerful. And so, a little incidental thing like creating a big fish to swallow Jonah becomes minuscule for us to believe. Or the parting of the Red Sea. If God created the world by His own, He spoke the worlds into existence. If He had the power to speak the worlds into existence, He has the power. All things are in His hand and in His control. By Him all things consist. And so when we talk about belief, to have a proper understanding of our belief, we first have to have a proper understanding of God Himself and who He is and His attributes. We don't subscribe to the fact that God is all-powerful and omniscient, omnipresent and omnipotent. We don't subscribe to that. If we limit God in any manner or fashion, then we will doubt these other aspects of Scripture. I once met a person who tried to explain away the sovereignty of God like this. God limits Himself to give human beings more liberty. God limits Himself to give human beings more liberty. No. No, God does not limit Himself. That is in contradistinction to the Bible. The Bible says that He will not share His glory with another. And it says also that all things are under His feet.
all things are under his feet. One of the passages of scripture that gives the Christian the greatest amount of reinforcement in their belief that I have found is in Colossians. It's a broad scope, but it's probably one of the strongest scriptures that we can go to in Colossians to reinforce our belief that God is who he says he is, and he's accomplished what he said he was going to accomplish. Very powerful passage of scripture. Verse 16 of first chapter of Colossians. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible. Whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. That's some pretty powerful, powerful message there. And now, as it speaks to God's election, God's elect, he goes on and says, he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, will they be things in earth or things in heaven? Now, we talk about being settled in our belief structure. He gives us this information about who God is, and then he goes on and reinforces it in verse 23. It says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Now, as it relates to the belief, there's certain degrees of belief, right? I've talked to people that say they believe that there's a God, but they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the only way. I've talked to some people who believe that there is a sovereign God, but they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. But here, speaking of God's elect, Paul says in verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, that is the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So belief, what we believe, is very, very important. You know, what we believe is very important. Do we believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he was? Do we believe that Jesus Christ accomplished what he said he had accomplished on the cross? Do we believe that Jesus Christ rose from the dead? Do we believe that Jesus Christ is coming back again? Do we believe that Jesus Christ is actually preparing a place for us? He says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Do we actually believe that? I know there's a lot of people that I've talked to who said they don't actually believe there is a heaven. They actually don't believe that. They think it's just a figure of speech. I've talked to people that have tried to explain away volumes of scriptures by saying it's a principle. It's a principle. It's just the principle of the thing. It's a way of calling God a liar. There's a scripture that says it's impossible for God to lie. It goes against his very nature. And so when someone denies the Bible and what God says, they're calling God a liar. They're not believing who he said he was. God is invincible. God is infinite. Who can know the mind of God? We can know some of his attributes because they are revealed to us in his word. I've talked to people who've said that they actually didn't believe that Jesus Christ was anything other than a man, and that he was a great leader and a great prophet, and they did believe that he walked on the face of the earth. They do believe that he was killed, but they don't believe he rose from the dead, and they don't believe that he was anything other than just another man. And well, I've talked to people that have said that Jesus Christ was really just a rabble rouser and a troublemaker of his time. He was like another person that was coming against the religious leaders of the day, kind of like some of the other people, like Martin Luther King or Gandhi or Malcolm X or whoever. Jesus Christ said something totally different. What did he say? He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Paul said there is no other mediator between God and man, and that is the man Christ Jesus. I've talked to people that say that they believe that the whole Christian religion is a farce. They don't believe any of it. They would not subscribe to it. They think it's a farce. And I've talked to many people that say that the Christian religion has been more abusive than any other religion on the face of the earth. But usually what they do when they say that is they're lumping the Catholics in with the Christians. Now we know there's been a lot of wars taught. I'm sorry. There have been a lot of wars fought in the name of religion. We know that. Well, I'm talking tonight about what we believe. What we believe. Are you an agnostic? Are you an agnostic? Do you get antagonized if someone starts talking about the Bible and the tenets of the Bible and what Christ said in the Bible? And do you start denying it? Do you start coming up against it? I talked to somebody one time and I was going over some things in the Bible, and this person became very, very agitated. Almost distraught. Didn't want to talk to me any longer. I've talked to people about the Bible and they become hostile. Why? Because it goes against their belief structure. They believe something and you're presenting hard evidence to the contrary, and it's, you know, psychologists call it cognitive dissonance. It causes a disharmony within what they believe, because we all believe something, you know. There's millions of people that believe in Gandhi and worship Gandhi in India. Millions of people who believe in Buddha. Many of people that practice the Hindu religion. There's millions of people that are Muslim in their faith and worship Allah. They believe Allah is God. They're willing to die for Allah. They're willing to commit suicide for Allah. They're willing to go on suicide missions. They believe so strongly in Allah that if they go out and commit jihad, they'll die and get 70 virgins. They actually believe this stuff. and they have their book, their holy book, they call the Quran, to back it up. What makes one person from one side of the world believe in the Quran and another person from another side of the world believe in Gandhi and one person from another side of the world believe in Jesus Christ, believe the Bible? I've heard people say, like Schuller and Norman Vincent Peale, some of those people say, well, it all depends on the culture you were raised in, what you believe in. No, it does not. That's a denial of the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. That's blasphemy to say that. Culture determines our belief system. That's what Jack, remember, Jack said the only reason he believed in Jesus was because of that's what his parents told him. It's not much of a belief system. The Bible says that thy word is truth. We're talking tonight about what constitutes the undergirdings of our faith. What happens when I remember when I was coming up, the teacher gave this as an example about how strongly a person's belief is. If someone came to you and put a gun in your face and said, tell me why I shouldn't kill you, what would you say? Or if someone came and put a gun to your head and said, tell me what you're willing to stake your life on is your belief. You know, there's a lot of people that are willing to die for the most unbelievable things. I recently heard on the news where a fella got married to a lady, and he did not want to marry. He felt like he was being forced into this marriage. He'd known this girl all since he was a child. They were childhood friends, but he did not want to marry her. But the families on both sides kept putting pressure on him to marry this girl. He ended up marrying this girl, and 2 days later committed suicide and wrote a note, I like you as a friend, but I do not want to be married to you. You will find me in the bottom of such and such river, and that's where they found him. He was willing to die to get out of that relationship. Jesus Christ, and so we see as a result of our discussion tonight that there is a great, great hope for us. We've talked about the troubles and trials and tribulations that we go through. We also talked about that scripture better farther on. But I want to conclude tonight with this Psalm 213, oh, for a breeze of heavenly love. You know, we have been given something that's priceless. What is it? We've been given something that's priceless. And it starts with belief. We believe something. And we've talked about what those sets of beliefs that we hold to are, and that gives us great hope for our future and our eternal communion with our Lord. 213.
Oh, for a breeze of heavenly love to wipe my soul away to that celestial world of love, where pleasures ne'er decay, eternal spirit, deign to me my pilot here below, to steer through life's tempestuous sea, where stormy winds do blow. I need the influence of thy grace to speed me on my way, lest I should loiter in my race or turn my feet astray. Are not thy mercies sovereign still, and thou a faithful God? Wilt thou not grant me warmer zeal to run the heavenly road, from rocks of pride on either hand, from quicksands of despair? Oh, guide me safe on Canaan's land, through every latent snare. Anchor me in that port above, on that celestial shore, where dashing billows never move, where tempests never roar.
Mark, you want to dismiss us in prayer?
Dear Lord, thank you today for the blessing you've given us. We praise you every day because you're the Lord of heaven and earth. We thank you, amen.
Amen.